So today we're going to finish up turkey and hopefully start, and we'll see how much we get done of smoothies, okay? So we'll see if we can finish smoothies. Okay, so guys, just a quick recap, quick chazara of what we spoke about last time. Okay, we spoke about how there are psukim and parashas re'eh and parashas shmi that delineate various types of animals that are not a kosher. We pointed out that in the Chumash there are actually no simanim listed to how to identify whether a bird is kosher or not. It just has a list of which birds are treif. We pointed out from the Gemara Chulin that the fact that the psukim delineate which birds are treif. Well, one second. We're just going to cause our efforts. Those psukim seem to imply that psukim delineate which birds are treif, imply that the majority of birds in the world are kosher, is what it makes explicit. But the problem is, again, we don't know what those birds are, how to identify them, and we don't have any simanim to do that. So the Mishnah Chulin gave us some simanim. Guys, what are some of the simanim to identify what makes a bird kosher? That's treif. But meaning, that's a machlokas on how to define a predatory bird. Okay, good. So, yeah, Kiva. Okay, so that's according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzedek. That's one sheet of the Mishnah. If the claws are split on a branch, the whole part of, so then according to one sheet, that's a problem. Yeah. Okay, let's not focus on that point. Let's go back in the Mishnah. Mishnah had a couple of, everyone agreed upon, that were simanim of kosher birds, right? He said that if a bird has a crop and a gizzard, right, part of the digestive tract, right, a zephek and a kurkavano nikla, so those things are considered to be simanim of a kosher bird, right? He said the bird is a predatory bird, right? Again, however you define that, we pointed out that maybe stiras and rashi and tosos, right, how to define that exactly, but we said that's a simanim of a non-kosher bird. So we're at the bottom of page 51, okay? So we're going to just kind of finish up the last couple of points. The Chasam Sofer is a tshuva where he discusses eggs from geese, wild geese and regular tame geese, and he says the following. We spoke with a little bit before also, that if a wild goose lays an egg, right, it hatches and it gets mixed up with other eggs. The kasha is, what's the deal? Let's say I have 100 regular goose eggs that are perfectly kosher, and then I have one wild goose egg. So again, we spoke earlier a little bit the status of a wild goose and a wild duck, about maybe how there may be some kind of difference, right? We spoke with that in a tshuva earlier about maybe even though they're part of the same species, they may still be treif. So what happens if a wild goose egg gets mixed up with a regular or multiple regular goose eggs? The Chasam Sofer says the following. He says, first of all, eggs can only be fertilized by animals of the same species. For example, a kosher animal can fertilize a kosher egg, and vice versa. Gemara in Mechoros makes a point very similar to that. Basically, Gemara says that if an animal is born of a kosher animal, by definition, that animal is kosher. Now, why would you ever think otherwise? Let's say you have a following example. Gemara has the following scenario. Let's say a cow gives birth to a fetus, but the baby looks like a horse, for example. So we know that a horse is straight, right? But what if the horse comes from a cow? So the Gemara has a rule, ayotze min ator, tor ayotze min atame tame. Whatever comes out of a kosher animal is by definition kosher, and vice versa. Right? It all depends on how it came out. Now again, there may be some zeir d'rabbanan, that maybe you can't eat because it looks like a horse, whatever it is. This has nafkaminas, by the way, in terms of the question about why is it mutter to drink milk? Okay? Does anyone know, what's the theoretical issue with drinking milk?
No.
Ibram and Achai, right? I'm not allowed to pull a limb off a cow and eat the limb, right? I can't pull a limb off a cow. So that's an example of hayotim and atame tame, right? If I want to take an extract, even if the animal is kosher, but if it's alive, I can't eat a live animal, right? So if I take the milk of a live animal, so maybe that's going to be treif. Now again, one could also argue, by the way, one could argue on this point and say, what do you mean? But maybe there's a chiluk of an animal which is intrinsically kosher and intrinsically treif, and just because it's alive right now, but it's still kosher. You could argue that point. Well, Lemaisa, why is there a heter to drink milk? What does anyone have a say? Anyone know? Lemaisa, why is it mutter to drink milk? Meaning, the kasha being mutter is a good kasha. So what? What? That's not a good answer. Anyone know? We're assuming that the Ibram and Achai kasha is a good kasha, because the Gemara in Bechoros asks the kasha. The Gemara has an answer. What? So you know what the Gemara says? You know what the Gemara says? The Gemara...
Maybe cow drinks.
You guys are thinking too technically. The Gemara says that because the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Zavash Halak Vash, there's no way in the world they'll ever praise Eretz Yisrael as a stream. Mila, milk is kosher. That's the Gemara. That's what's got it. It's like a serious custom. What?
Does that mean
the boss? That's a different issue, which we're not going to discuss this year. Different issue. And then Mavoda Zara. That's an interesting question also. We're not going to talk about this year probably. But, that's a question. Milk is straight kosher because Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as Eretz Zavat Chol Hadash. Okay. What? You could, but we don't have to. Meaning, the whole discretion is the cow's lot. You don't have to go cow. How am I going to get milk for the next 3 years if I fill a cow today? I'm going to get milk today. I'm going to get milk for the rest of the next 3 years, right? Okay? Now, guys, okay, so that's the chassis over. It makes that hard. Flip it to page, guys, go to page 52. Yeah. We're not going to get to those details right now. Okay? Now, if you look at page, guys, page 52, so basically the chassis over just discusses how when Noah, at the end of the bowl, the fourth paragraph, Noah, when Noah delineated the various principles, again, Noah wasn't Jewish. Noah didn't have Miniat Shemus, or Shemus B'nai Noah, right? But he didn't have all the full flight of halakha. When he wants to delineate specifics regarding Tehir Menachai, regarding some of these halakhos, so Noah only has what customers says are general principles to work with. You can't think of every crazy scenario that Gemara Mechor is going to come up with, you know, thousands of years later, and be like, oh, the thing is that when you want to treat milk, it's Eretz HaKas. Like, Noah is not thinking in those terms. Noah delineates principles of Hashos or even Menachai, because it has very general principles, right? So that's what makes that hara, that you can't foresee every single situation Hashos or whatever happened in the world, because it's just too crazy. Okay. Look at the bottom of page 52, the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva where he discusses the following. He says in Warsaw, they had these geese they imported from Russia. Yeah, I guess from the zoos or something, whatever, I don't know, or the markets. They had these geese imported from Russia, from other foreign countries. And the question was, what's the deal? Can I eat these geese? Do we assume they're kosher or not? And if you take a look at page 53, he says the people in Warsaw eat these geese even though they don't have Minnesota, and it's a horrible thing. But then he says that if there's a city of B'nai Torah that are eating a certain bird that doesn't have that, you're almost super about whether that bird's kosher or not. So he says if that happens, then you can rely on their Minnesota because they're B'nai Torah. If they're really B'nai Torah, you can rely on their Minnesota. What? Okay, 1 second. And then just as a cute heart to end off the sugya, even though it's not really relevant at all to anything we talked about, but the Mishnah Berurah talks about by Turkey, there's a kid that Gemara Brachos talks about, that a person's not allowed to daven with the dalanamos of feces, with soa. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah closely recommends that a Jewish family should not go to Turkey. And he says that Turkey has, their soa is incredibly disgusting, more so than other animals, and it smells really bad, and therefore you recommend don't have a turkey. That's Mishnah Berurah. Okay. Lamaisa, what do we see here about, sorry for that last point, what do we see about turkey? What if I were asking you a shayla, I want to know, am I allowed to eat turkey? I don't want to ask a kasha, can I put an OU on turkey?
Yes.
What?
Since it's common that B'nai Torah
eat it. Oh, so you want to use the Avnei Nezer, so you're saying if it's a bird which is Mesukad, and many B'nai Torah eat it, so then it should be mutter. Now the question is, that's kind of like a Sim and Siba question, meaning like, meaning we all eat it, but maybe we're not even justified in eating it. Maybe, yeah. Okay, well, okay, it's not wild, there's maybe more room to discuss. Okay, possibly. So guys, we saw that the baseline is according to Rashi, you need to have Masorah to eat birds. Right? That's what we saw earlier, right? You need a Masorah to eat a bird. So, what was the issue that raised with Turkey earlier? Turkey can't have Masorah because Turkey was discovered by Jews 400 years ago, right? In 1600s in Poland, right? I'm sorry, in America, right? Because before in Poland there are no turkeys around, right? Say Masorah restarts when he comes to a new place. I don't know about that part. I'm not sure about that. But
I know you can mix animals.
Okay, we're not talking about mixing up animals and then whether the results of those animals are. That's a different issue. But Lamaisa, guys, Lamaisa, we see that the consensus, the majority of folks who assume halakha, turkey is definitely mutter. Why? Because turkey resembles, has all the simanim of a kosher bird. There's no Minnesota. Of course there's no Minnesota. Because turkey didn't exist. Right, so exactly. Turkey was in America. So if you were a Native American Kosig, then yeah, Nakanami, if you get a sock, you know, and eat turkey. But, what?
We should have found it.
What's that?
We should have found a Native American Kosig.
We should have, but I don't think there are any Jewish Native Americans, as far as I know. Okay, so that is does Rav Moshe allow it? So Rav Moshe actually has a truth about Thanksgiving. And he talks about the Chukas HaGoyim aspect of Thanksgiving, which we're not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about that now. There seems to be Rav Moshe Soser himself, and Rav Taylor called out Rav Moshe for being Soser himself, and Rav Moshe addressed the fact that he was Soser himself in another Shula. That's a different issue. We're not going to talk about that now. Lamaisa, Total post-game, except maybe for Oshesman. Total post-game assume that turkey is probably kosher. But that's what Oshesman thinks about turkey, go ask him, because he has a unique sheet about turkey. But moving through the post-game, think turkey is kosher. What? Oshesman doesn't eat turkey. For all the reasons that we said he shouldn't eat turkey, Oshesman doesn't eat turkey. Yeah.
Let's say Koel served turkey. I mean, I guess they wouldn't serve
turkey. Well, Koel has and probably would. On your last TO, all of you had turkey sandwiches.
See, not all of the clashes of Koel?
No, because 99.5% of those, even the OU that Reb Schechter works for, gives a hechsher on turkey. Reb Schechter has a personal chumrah to not eat turkey. I don't know if he's going to be Koveh al-Halakha for the Rabbis to not eat. Yeah.